God. And when we encounter God, it brings our mess to the surface. It's our shortcomings that we see. And I believe prophetically what the Lord is telling me, that in this season, God wants to free us from shortcomings and character flaws. I know you find it hard to believe. I know I'm going to give you great revelation right now. But I have shortcomings and character flaws. I know you don't believe that. But I do. And I'm encountering God. Because I'm coming to recognize what those weaknesses and character flaws and shortcomings are. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to have them in 2017. I believe that the Lord is bringing this group of people into a place where things that you have struggled with for years, if you will let Him bring it. See, He's not just bringing these things to the surface so He can reveal them. He's bringing them to the surface so He can get you free from them. I'm trying to tell you that sovereignly the Lord is bringing our stuff to the surface because He wants us to change our behavior. He wants us to change. Good Lord. He wants us to change our behavior. Good thing today's message is short. He wants us to change our behavior. Now, I don't know about you. Do you have things in your life that you've been going around the same mountain for years? And you get to a point when you go around that same mountain that you know what you do? That's where the false face comes from. I've got issues. I've got things I'm not good at. So what I tend to do is ignore those things and pretend that they're not there and try to fake you out and make you think I'm good at them. But I know when I come home and the door closes behind me, I'm not good at these things. And I'm trying to tell you, there's some things that some of us are not good at. We have some shortcomings and some character flaws that would keep us from going to the next level. And unless we allow Him to bring them to the surface, but not just bring them to the surface, change them. I cannot receive what He wants to do through me in 2017 unless I deal with some shortcomings in my life. Hello? He can't send me where He wants me to go unless I conquer some little pesky things. Now, I'm going to give you some practical advice, some practical word today to go along with what I'm saying. It's time for us to quit running and face head on our issues. I got issues I've been running from I'm 47. But I don't want to run from those issues anymore. See, here's what I've been saying. We've all been running from our issues, trying to hide them, putting on our false face. And the Lord wants us right now, prophetically, to turn around and hit head on our issues. I'm telling you, I got some issues in my life. I don't want to carry them into 2017. Do you know I'm insane? I'm just going to tell you, you can apply it the way you want to apply it. If you're honest, you'll find out you're insane too. But you've been doing the same thing over and over, praying, casting out devils and everything, trying to get a different result. See, when I put it on the devil, I don't have to deal with me, but I'm the issue. I'm a dummy. I do dumb stuff. I don't get my life in order. Are you hearing me? This is the divine moment where He's forcing you to look at you and not blame the devil and not blame your wife or your husband. It's you looking in the mirror. It's time for the insanity to stop.
This is the year and the moment that we quit blaming other people and say, I am the one. I've got to fix me. The one thing I have in common with all the 47 years of my mess is me.
Gosh, folks, I feel the Holy Spirit on this so strongly. It's time for you to face your shortcomings. I'm preaching my message without preaching my message. The pride inside of me does not want to admit that I'm not good at something. I would rather keep pretending that I'm good and messing up my life than to finally face the fact that I can't be good at everything and I'm not good at some things and let Him cleanse my heart. Hello. I'm telling you, the God of the universe is saying, grow up, look in the mirror, face that you've got issues in your life. And you're not good at everything. And for God's sake, I hate to break the news to you, but your wife is better at some things than you are. And your husband is better at some things than you are. And some of you got an independent spirit. And the Lord sent you a man, but you're still trying to wear the pants. And you need to hang your pants up and submit to your place. And let that man be good at what he's good at. And you be good at what you're good at. And you can think you're fighting the devil, but no, it's the Lord wanting you to learn who really wears the pants. Now you're getting that free. And see, a man and a woman wears different pants. You'd know it if I had Tony's pants on this morning. See, Tony looks good in Tony's pants, but I don't look good in Tony's pants. And if I'm going to get what God wants me to get, I'm going to have to learn to appreciate and let her wear the pants that belong to her, and I'm going to have to wear the pants that belong to me before we can ever get all God has for us. Are you hearing me? She's good at some things I'm not good at. And because we're one flesh, you would think us as men would be smart enough just out of our own selfishness to do the right thing. Because if she's good at something that I'm not good at, and I humble myself and realize that, well, guess who gets the benefit out of it, knucklehead? Hello? If my house runs good, it benefits me. Hello? It's time to wear the right pants. It's time to face the issues that you have in your life. Oh, how such a... You will never hear any more prophetic message than I'm giving you, people. It's time to quit running from your shortcoming. It's time to quit being prideful and think that you got everything together and you know how to do everything. I'm just preaching to me. I hope y'all enjoy the sideshow. You don't know what you think you know. You don't know the Bible like you think you know the Bible. See, there's a difference between somebody saying amen and then somebody, when you're preaching, saying it like they already know it. Irritates the life out of me. If you know it, your life wouldn't be where it was. You're just like me. You're insane. You know it. But you don't do it. So move fast. Okay. So in this season, folks, God wants to free us from our shortcomings and character flaws. I've got character flaws. If I can possibly do it, a couple years ago, I woke up and I said, I'm going to do everything God's called me to do. I'm going to start everything God's called me to do, and I did. Well, I'm starting. I'm giving you your New Year's resolution right now. I'm giving you mine. In 2017, I'm not going to have my same character flaws. I'm tired of being insane. Hello? Tired of being insane. So we looked at David and we saw where David encountered the man of God. And when David encountered the man of God, he put his finger on his chest and he said, David, you're the man. So what we're learning is this, that David didn't know what was in his own heart. David wore a false face. David didn't know what his own reflection looked like until the prophet said, you're the one. This is your heart, David. And then we move to what we're getting to here. We move to Psalm 51 and what David said. The first thing he said after this encounter, when he began to see his own heart, he said, have mercy on me, O God. Psalm 51 verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And here's the point. For probably the first time in his life, he said, I acknowledge my transgressions. See, what we're learning over the last couple weeks in encountering God, we first got to acknowledge our transgressions. You've got to first acknowledge what you're not good at. You've got to acknowledge that character flaw. For some of you, it's control. You want control of everything. Just quit running from it. Finally look in the mirror and say, you control freak. And sometimes you want to control things because you're afraid. You're afraid this husband will do to you what the last husband did to you, so you try to control him. Look in the mirror, and he said, I acknowledge. And then we looked at Jacob, and Jacob fought for a blessing. Jacob pretended to be someone else. He pretended to be Esau. He put on his false face. He even went and got some hair to put on himself to make himself hairy. How many people are making themselves hairy when they're supposed to be Fred? Hello, you'll catch that later. And Jacob, though he got the blessing from his dad, he never got the real blessing, and he lived a life full of deception. And then he met God, and he was asking God for a blessing. And the first thing that happened is God messed up his walk. He put something out of joint in his life. He messed up his nice little, cool little... See, you can be swagger and sexy. But baby, when you broke the hip, your swag went out the window, and now you look like grandpa coming along. See, God's trying to get us from what people think we are to where we're comfortable being what we really are. Because we've been walking around acting like this, but this is really who we are. And so he wrestled God. And he kept saying, give me the blessing, which he thought he had gotten from his father. And the response was, if you want the blessing, tell me who you are. Tell me your name. Just like David, he had to acknowledge, I am Jacob. Jacob means deceiver. For the first time in his life, he had to say, I'm a deceiver. And then God changed his name and gave him the name of Israel, made him a prince with God. What did both men do? They finally came to the place of taking off the false face and acknowledging who they were. Some of you people got some hurt in your life, and to deal with the hurt in your life, you became a person that's not you. Your fear caused you to become a person that's not really you. For some of you, you're hard and you're rough around the edges because you're protecting yourself because you don't ever want to get hurt again. But that's not who you are. And the Lord wants to bring you back to who you are before the mess happened in your life. See, some of us are so good at pretending we don't even know who we are. You are not who you've pretended to be all these years. You started pretending to be someone because of the hurt in your life. You don't really even know who you are. But what God is wanting to do is cause you to see what you have become so that you return to what you really are. So you're going to have to come to the place just like me where you acknowledge what you are. And you're going to have to quit running from your shortcomings and look in the mirror and say, see that person in the mirror? Sir, you have issues. So So once he does that, he receives the blessing. Now let me show you some things. I want to show you a strategy of the enemy, and I want to show you God's original intent. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 23 through 25, the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And now we find God's intent. "And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." You better let that sink in. See, if we go back to the original plan of God, God's intent was nakedness, not covering. God's intent was you to be real. Baby, you you ain't seen flaws like you'd see if we were all sitting here naked. Because these clothes, baby, do a good job. But God intended them to be naked and not ashamed. God intends for you to be naked and not ashamed. Not literally. We're not starting naked church. All there is one on the earth. But yes, spiritually, it's time to be a naked church. It's time where you lay down your false face and your facade and you get back to what he intended, because what he intended was openness, not covering up. It's time that he gets us to be naked and not ashamed. I'm not ashamed I had my appendix taken out when I was a child. I'm not ashamed to show you the scar, because it saved my life. See, I don't have to put a false face on. His original intent was for people to be open. Are you hearing me? So his original intent is clear. They were naked, not ashamed. They had no sense of shame about their nakedness. There was openness. Then in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. Welcome to the church. Right here they began to cover up. Right here they lost their openness. They began to have a sense of guilt about who they were. This is deep, isn't it? They covered themselves. They put on their false face. They pretended everything was okay. So their church people, now here it is again. See, if we make the church out to be an organization, I'm going to put on my false face for you. But if you're my family, hello. I promise you, my family has seen me in ways that you've not seen me. Both in the natural, unfortunately. About the closest we're going to get out of the family is Joe. She saw me in my underwear, so I hear, so I don't know. That's what happens when you bring people into your home. See if we can get past that thing that you pretend to be. And God didn't intend for you to pretend. He didn't intend on covering. He intended on you being real, not fake. Now we build the whole church on being fake and wonder why we have a superficial thing go on. Wonder why people just get mad and leave. Insanity. You taught them to act like someone else. You taught them to cover up. You don't love them enough to let them be who they really are. can't share their nakedness with you. So they live in an inferior way to what God originally intended. Hello? So they covered themselves. God's intent was not for you to have to cover up and wear a false face. And if the fact that we have to finally, and we've seen this in Scripture, that we have to acknowledge who we are in order to be free, we can't possibly get free pretending to be okay. Can we? Because it wasn't his intent. So along comes God. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Why'd they hide themselves? See, well, that's another thing. We hide from God. When we got issues, we don't come to church. If you had a bad week, you don't come to church. Well, that's the opposite. You're covering up. You're hiding from the presence of God. You should take your mess to his presence. That's when you need to go more. But you see, we can't separate God from church, and church people judge us, so God's going to judge us, so we cover up for him too. But he's got x-ray vision. You're not faking him out. He knows. You might feel better about you, but he knows. He knows the rascal I am. So God shows up and they hid themselves. He said, I heard. The Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. Oh, I could preach that forever. I was afraid, so I hid myself. The most fake place and the most fake gathering time of the week is Sunday morning. Because I'm going to go hide myself. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat? So I'm going to skip that and we'll move on down. I want to share with you real quickly. The Bible says in 1 John, now what am I trying to get us to see? I'm trying to get us to acknowledge who we really are. I'm trying to get us to quit running from our mess. I'm trying to get us to come to someone and say, I really am not good at this. I really fail at this. You fill in the blank. Being good to your spouse, being affectionate with your spouse, managing your money, you fill in the blank. You might have you fooled, but you don't have me fooled. You have a blank of something in it. I don't know what it is, but I know you got a blank that you have to address. I'm struggling with fill in the blank. So unless the Lord can get us to that place. Now look, here's what the Scripture teaches. 1 John 1, 8, 9. If we say that we have no sin, if we say we have no shortcoming, if we say, now I don't want you to just look at this as sin in the word sin. I want you to also insert here the word shortcoming. It may not necessarily be a sin, but I want you to apply the same principle. If we say that we have no issue, okay, I'm going to say that. If we say we have no issue, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. See, I've took the first step. I told you this morning, I got issues. If we confess our issue, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our issue and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But he cannot cleanse me from my issue unless I acknowledge my issue. David said, I acknowledge now. Jacob said, I acknowledge now. So we cannot be free until we acknowledge our issue. Quit running from your issue. I didn't know it was going to be like this, but I'm giving you the word for 2017. As we get ready to transition out of 2016 and 2017, make this your mark. Don't run from your issue. Make this the moment that you're going to quit running from your issues. James 5:16, if you confess your issue to one another and pray for one another, you'll be healed. But if you hide your issue and wear a false face, you will remain unhealed. The word confess means admit. It means admit or state that one has committed a crime or is at fault in any way. You came out of the mother's womb with a terminology. It's not my fault. I didn't know it. Don't look at me. I promise, Mom, I didn't knock it off the wall. It just fell. No matter what that little brother tells you, Mom, I didn't do it. It means to admit that one has committed a crime or is at fault in some way. Have you come to the place admitting that you have fault yet? He confessed that he had attacked the old man as an example. Synonyms means to admit, acknowledge, reveal, disclose, divulge, declare, and profess. We fail. That's the thing that you find least in the church. People are acknowledging what somebody else did, divulging what somebody else did. Means to admit or acknowledge something reluctantly, typically because one feels ashamed or embarrassed. Are we going to be a family or are we going to be an organization? Hello? I said, are we going to be a family or are we going to be an organization? What's the difference? It's whether you wear your false face or not. Do you know that there are husbands and wives who get married? And the wife will refuse to let the husband see her when she wakes up in the morning. She got to go put her makeup on. I'm talking about husband and wife. Where's the intimacy in that? You see the facade. There are people who do this, by the way. Now we got Facebook and we can do all those nice little things to our picture. If they put an APB out on us, nobody's going to find us because that's not what we look like, especially when we wake up in the morning. If you're carrying that picture that you put on Facebook and you happen to get abducted in the morning when you just got out of bed, they ain't ever going to find you. That's the way the church is, though. That's a good little thing now. I want to see everybody when they wake up in the morning. I want you to see me pictures of when you wake up in the morning. So if you ever go missing, I'll know what to look for. I mean, would you be honest that things are not in your home like they are here on Sunday morning sometimes? Be honest. Do you do things in your home you wouldn't do here?
Yeah.
Would you like a list? I'm talking about past things. Not any I'm seeing now, but would you really? And see, what you don't understand is the anointing on people. The Lord takes people that don't have a clue what they're doing, and they have to rely on His anointing. So many times, they are the opposite of what you see. Do you know that some of the best pastors are the meanest things on earth to their family? They have love and compassion. He said, amen. Think about what I'm telling you. You get paid to be compassionate for people, but you don't have an ounce at home. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Doing better by the grace of God. See, are you understanding what I'm saying to you? So the anointing comes on people and you think they're something that they're not. Baby, when that anointing's not on there, you'll find out fast. This is not even a nice human. I'm just telling you the truth. But God wants to get us to where we can finally acknowledge I'm not a nice human in some areas. So I'm going to share with you a few things here that how are we going to deal with this? I'm going to say it to you again. I believe that in this season, God wants to free us from shortcomings and character flaws. And I just want to share like three real quick keys about this thing with our character flaws and our issues. First thing I'm going to say to you, we've got to learn to recognize our character flaws. Because as you can see here, these men that we're talking about didn't know that they had these issues. Unfortunately, at some point, the issues that I have privately are probably going to come out publicly. Eventually, I'm going to wake up one day and be out of makeup and have to run to Walmart and buy some. Are you hearing me? I can only fake it so long. So we've got to recognize, number one, how do we recognize our shortcomings? I should just say one thing and go home. Listen to your wife. Meeting adjourned. Listen. First thing to recognize is look for patterns. What is the Lord addressing in your life right now? What is the pattern? Look for patterns. What situation do you find yourself facing repeatedly? You keep over and over dealing with the same issue. It's a pattern. I'm trying to tell you the Lord's wanting you to recognize right now. What have you quit doing hundreds of times? Look for the pattern. The pattern reveals that there's something wrong with me. The repetition indicates there's something wrong with me. And I've been trying to place the blame on something else. What is the pattern in your life? Look for the pattern. Because it begins to indicate the place that he's trying to work on. What situation do you find yourself facing repeatedly? That's an indicator of what I need to change. That's where what I'm wanting you to see. If I've been doing it for years, and it's been going on with me for years, and it happens in every church I go to, and it happens in every relationship I've had, you're the common denominator. This is an indicator that I need to change. Patterns and repetitions in my life are indicators that I need to change. Insanity. Continuing to do the same thing, expecting different results. If I keep doing what I've always done, I'll continue to have what I've always had. What's the pattern? I know this has been fun and so on, but I don't want you to miss the prophetic time we're in here. Look at the pattern. Look in the mirror this time and say, if this is continuing in my life, I have a character flaw. Something's wrong. I got to fix. And don't get into guilt and condemnation. Just say, you know what? Now I get it. It's me. The second thing I'll tell you in recognizing is listen to others. There's an element of truth. Oh, it hurts to even say it. There's an element of truth in criticism almost every time. Are you hearing me? If you find multiple people who tell you something, pay attention. Listen to others. What is it in your life that multiple people are telling you, and you get into a fetal position because you rise up and say, "Not me. I'm good at everything." If you hear the same thing from different people, pay attention. And see, what happens is our pride causes us to resist the criticism. We can't back up from the criticism and begin to examine. And here, I think, is what the Lord is trying to get us to. When criticism comes, I think He wants us to take a moment and look at ourselves and say, "Is this true about me?" Now, if you're hard-headed like I am, it's going to take several people to tell you before you even start to think about it. But what are people telling you? "Oh, Lord, it hurts." What are the people? See, we got a choice to make here. Not what those people who see you in ministry are telling you. What do the people who live under your roof tell you? Different subject. See, if you operate in a gift, you could go around and ask. I could just do a survey today. Even if y'all believe, even if y'all didn't believe it, you'd say good things. You know, no doubt about it in my mind. But I can fake myself out and think I'm that good. Well, they all told me I was great. But if I look in my own house, usually the voice of truth is in those people that live in those four walls with you. And that's where we begin to have to look in the mirror. See, this is really what I'm talking about. The people closest to us know. You can fake Bubba out if you see him 2 hours on Sunday. But the people in your roof know. And sometimes they're trying to tell us stuff. "It hurts me while I'm saying this." We got to humble ourselves and back up and think, we've got to see the element of truth in the criticism if we're going to fix our character flaws and our shortcomings. I mean, I just wonder right now if there's people all across the room that you know good and well, multiple people have told you about something in your life. And each time you just walked off in pride saying, "Well, they don't know." God wants us to be free. And we can't be free unless we acknowledge, and sometimes He uses others to let us know that. And see, in a family, we ought to be able to do that. In an organization, if we do that, you'll just take your tithes and your toys and go on down the road and cause trouble at another church. But if we're family, you're going to take time to listen to the criticism. Don't blow up my phone this week with all your criticisms of me either. It does hurt when they dump and they pile it all on at once. At least space it out a little bit. That helps. Couple of things. Now, how are we going to deal with it? Number one, folks, we got to face it. And that's what the prophetic message is. Quit running. It's time for me to quit running from my shortcomings. Have the courage to look in the mirror. It's hard to look at you in the mirror and say, "Oh my, you're not good at this." The first key to moving forward. Now, you know this right now. Do you know? I want you to think of anywhere you want to go right now. There's one thing that you have to do in order to be able to go anywhere you want to go. You must recognize where you are. You can have a map that will take you. You can have a map of the whole United States. But until you recognize where you are, the map is useless. And that's what God is saying. Yes, I've given you a vision. I've given you a hope. I've given you a glimpse of your future. But you can't get there until you acknowledge where you are. You got to know I'm right here. You go to the mall. You know what they have on that directory? Little square, you are here. And see, what God's wanting to do in our life so that he can bring us into another level is show us you are here. You got to know where you are. That's why he wants you to face it. He wants you to come to knowledge, to the terms with what it is. And then think about this. Anybody ever get up in the middle of the night with no lights on, power out, can't see, as dark as it can be? And this is what you do? God. And guess what you have to do? I can go all around my house without a light. But not until I figure out where I'm at. I've got to feel something that gives me a point of reference. You ever woke up in the middle of the night and do that? And you're like, oh my God, where am I? Nothing. You can't have a point of reference. See, you can't move on with him until you recognize where you are. And then finally, you stumble around and feel something. There's a coffee table. Oh, so now I know where I am. It's what God's trying to do. You can't move on until you recognize where you are. As John Maxwell says, I know what I don't know. That's a beautiful place. God's trying to get us to the point where we say, I know what I don't know now. I know what I don't know. That's a beautiful place to be. Our insecurity keeps us from facing our shortcomings. Got to be willing to admit we don't do something well. The next thing, get help. Learn. Get a mentor. And here's what I'm finding. By nature, we want to hang around people that are like us. That's our problem. Because if I hang around everybody that's like me, we're all mean. Or we're all whatever. You fill in the blank. But I need someone to begin to influence my life that's different from me. I need someone who's good at what I'm not. They're good at things that I'm not good at. But see, I can't even figure that out until I figure out what I'm not good at. I got to know what I don't know. And when I know what I don't know, now I start to hang around some people that are good at that so that I can have a model. Yes. We need those who are not like us that are strong in areas that we're weak. And by nature, we want to hang around people like us. It's tough. I don't want to hang around people that are not like me. I don't like them. They're not like me. But I need them. Because I'm not going to deal with my shortcomings unless he that walks with the wise becomes wise. And I'm not wise about everything. So I'm going to have to hang around some people that are not like me. Because they know something that I don't know. Are you hearing me today? And the next thing I'll leave you with, quit blaming others. Take ownership of poor decisions. Did you hear me? The devil didn't do it. I did. Hello? I made the decision. I'm talking about having an encounter with God where you can get free this morning. There's people all over here can get free if you would just realize. I did it. I made poor decisions. I'm not here because the devil came after me. I'm not here because God doesn't love me. I made bad decisions. Me. Some people are still fighting the devil. He didn't do it. Just acknowledge you didn't know what you thought you knew. And you made poor decisions. It's quiet in here. The hardest person take ownership of poor decisions. The hardest person to lead is me. I wish I had time to talk about this for a while. I might. But see, the hardest person to lead is me. And what I've learned about leadership is You cannot get people to do something different than who you are as a leader. Cannot do it. So that if I want to change an organization, if I want to change a home, if I want to change my family, guess who I have to change? Me, because they can't move past my ability to lead. So if there's going to be change, I have to be that change. Corny, but true. Be the change that you're hoping to see. That's how leadership works. Model what you're wanting from them. But what we tend to do is that's our false face. We tend to not model the opposite and get mad because they're not doing what we want them to do. They're just doing what, in my house, they're only doing what I modeled. Help me, Jesus, to get saved right here, now. See, so many of us blame the people in our lives. If you could spend about a month with Larry Jackson as a man, you'd feel unsaved. Because everything is your fault. Sir, if that woman's not happy, it's your fault, sir. But see, that's the essence of leadership. I got to deal with me. I'm the hardest one to lead. I've got to be the change. See, and the way we are by nature is, if you would just, no, I'm going to have to go there. I'm going to have to, now this is what Jesus did. I'm going to have to start modeling it first. That's why I'm telling you this. We've got to embrace it. You're the reason for most of your problems. I love you, but you're the reason for most of your problems. And if you can come to that place, see, some of you starting to wear guilt right now. You shouldn't. This should encourage you to say, for the first time in my life, relationships in your life gone by the wayside, why don't you for once go back and say, I was not a good friend. I was not a good husband. I was not a good wife. Hello, it's quiet. And see, Jesus taught this principle of dealing with ourselves first. Matthew 7:3. Why beholdest thou the mote that's in your brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that's in your own eye? How will you say to your brother, let me pull out the mote out of your eye, when a beam is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First cast the beam out of your eye, and then you shall see clearly to cast the mote out of your brother's eye. Deal with me first. And folks, I believe that's prophetically what the Lord is saying to us in this house. We want to get the world saved. We want to pass judgment on the sinners. We want to pass judgment on the Democrats. Hello. We got to deal with us first. And before the Lord can use us at the level that He wants to use us as a people and as a ministry, we've got to raise up a people who have gone to look in the mirror and found out, not in a place of guilt and despair, quit running from your issue. Make this the time that you run head on and face it head on and finally deal with it and acknowledge it so that you don't repeat this situation. If it's happened in every church you've been in, you're the issue. If it's happened in every relationship you've been in, you're the issue. So Lord, I just ask